Tonight, with God's help, I'd like to begin a short study from this chapter. And I'm not going to have a verse-by-verse Bible study, but I'd like to consider three fruits of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Here in this chapter, we have a description of what happens when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. When the power of the Holy Spirit was revealed and manifested to man. And among the many things that we can learn about this subject, I would like to consider what happened in the apostles' preaching. What happened in the life of the church, and then what happens in the salvation of sinners. So, the power of the Holy Spirit and its result in the preaching of the apostles, in the life of the church, and in the salvation of sinners. And tonight we will start with the power of the Holy Spirit and its results on apostolic preaching. The amazing thing about this sermon, the outstanding results and fruits of this sermon, were not because Peter was an outstanding preacher. The secret of that sermon, though as preacher I have a lot to learn from Peter in this occasion, the secret is not in the preacher. The secret is not in the sermon itself. But what made this sermon amazing is that it was accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit. And if there is a need for today, and if there is something that the church needs most in days like this, that very often we call days of small things, if we want to see our preaching to become effectual, we need not more men, not better seminaries, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And notice that when the Holy Spirit accompanied the preaching of the gospel, this preaching becomes biblical. Biblical. It's not because we preach biblically that the Holy Spirit comes and blesses. Of course, we must be biblical. It's our duty as preachers, it's our duty as a church to be biblical. Biblically minded. But what is clear in this text is that the Holy Spirit enabled Peter to preach a sermon which was biblical. And what do I mean when I speak of a biblical sermon? I mean full of Scripture. And Peter in this sermon is constantly quoting the Bible. He quotes the prophecy of Joel. He quotes in several occasions the Psalms. His sermon is full of the Bible. And this is very important. And this is something that the Holy Spirit does. When the Holy Spirit gives freedom to a preacher, when the Holy Spirit accompanies a man in the preaching of the gospel, he doesn't give him philosopher's statements. He does enable him to remember Plato and other men like him. The Holy Spirit leads the preacher to the Bible and fills his mind with the Bible and enables him to connect what he's saying with the Bible. And those among us who have any experience of preaching, you know what I mean. I find myself sometimes amazed that I can remember that text. And it's not my good memory, brethren. It is the Holy Spirit accompanying. It's the Holy Spirit help taking a word from the Bible and giving to his servants to be quoted. And the best sermons, as the best books, are those books and sermons who are full of Scripture. Full of Scripture. And of course, we have to cultivate Bible reading. We have to memorize and study the Word of God. But when the Holy Spirit is helping us, that Word that we studied and memorized, it comes alive and it comes to our mind, is recollected by the Holy Spirit, that that Word might be used in the preaching of the truth. But it's something else. The Holy Spirit makes Peter to preach in a biblical way, giving him understanding of Scripture. When a man is full of the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel, he will preach the truth. He will not preach a lie because it's a contradiction. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And he will guide his people in the truth, not in lies, not in heresies, but in the truth. And so when a man is full of the Holy Spirit, he will preach Scripture with understanding. Understanding them in the right context, understanding them in the right meaning, in the right interpretation. Here you have a man that few days before, he did not understand the teaching of Christ. Very often he misunderstood Jesus and what Jesus taught. And now he's enabled, almost suddenly, he's enabled to grasp the depth of Scripture, to understand what it means, to interpret prophecies and psalms, and to quote them, and to give the right meaning and interpretation. This man who was ignorant is now a teacher of the law. What happened to Peter? Did he attend an intensive course in a seminary? No, he didn't. The Holy Spirit enabled him to grasp, to understand Scriptures. And so it's important that we have faithful and orthodox seminaries. It's important that we have men trained. But we need the power of God working in the hearts and minds of ministers, of elders, of preachers. Because only when ministers are full of the Holy Spirit, only then we will be enabled to preach the truth, and only the truth. And in days where heresy is growing, in days where the true gospel is forgotten and neglected, what do we need? We need the work of the Holy Spirit. And here you are, a member of this congregation, or somewhere else, and here is something for you to do. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit given to your minister, given to any faithful minister, given to the church, that we might preach the Bible in a biblical way. The church is plagued by men that preach the Bible according to their ways and their understanding. Almost every church has some understanding and some different interpretation. If we want to understand the one meaning of Scripture, we need the Holy Spirit and its powerful work in us. And this is what happened to Peter and to the apostle. When they received that power, they were able to preach biblically, full of Scripture and full of understanding concerning Scripture. Secondly, when the apostles received power from on high, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they became bold in their preaching. They became full of authority and full of passion. Until that moment, they were all very weak and all trembling and full of doubts. Even after the resurrection of Christ, we are told that even seeing the risen Christ, we are told some of them doubted. These were not brave men. We find them at the beginning of the chapter in the upper room, in a closed place. They were not involved in any public ministry. They were still afraid, probably, among many other things, of persecution. Jesus himself was taken away. What about themselves? These were men that fled when Jesus was arrested. These were men that followed afar off when Jesus was condemned and crucified. These were men who were not brave. And then suddenly, these weak men are standing before thousands upon thousands of people preaching. What an amazing change happened to them. From being afraid of a leaf moving, standing before enemies in the front of a mocking crowd, there they stand preaching the gospel in a fearless way. They don't preach with maybe and ifs. They don't preach trying to please the crowd. There they are, Peter standing. You have killed the King of Glory. You have crucified the one who was sent by God. What a statement. A fearful man would never say that. A man without the help of the Holy Spirit would never say this. And here it is, the Apostle Peter, the one who denied Christ. Remember, the one who denied Christ for the fear of a woman is now standing before a huge crowd preaching the gospel of Christ. With no fear, with no doubts, full of authority. He's saying to them, this is the truth, and the only way for you to escape from your judgment is Christ and the gospel. It's full of authority. It's like an ambassador, like the Apostle Paul speaks in Corinth. An ambassador sent by a king, sent by God himself. Go and preach to them. Don't be afraid. I am with you always. And when that presence of Christ is felt in the work of the Spirit, when the Spirit is anointing them and they receive power from on high, they can stand before crowds of people, looking them into their eyes, and preach to them the gospel with no fear. And is this not what we need today? We need brave preachers. But how will a man become brave? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Seminaries don't give authority to men. Presbyteries don't give authority to man. The Holy Spirit does. And if you want a minister who is full of heavenly authority, if you want a man that speaks with a God-given authority, then you need to pray for the Holy Spirit. This is the need of the hour, brethren. This is what made that church to put the world upside down. It was not the zeal and faithfulness and good works of the apostles, though they were important and good. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that transformed the city of Jerusalem, that transformed the hearts of men and made them Christians. It was the work of the Holy Spirit that transformed Peter in a mighty and faithful preachers. So, brethren, pray for the Holy Spirit. We are still in the days of Pentecost. This is that dispensation. We're not in a new one. We are still in this time. Pentecost is the beginning of the ends of time. And the time are not ended yet. And the same Spirit that mightily made Peter such a preacher is still at work today as it was 2,000 years ago. Let us pray that God would give us such a spirit. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit, as He was given, He enabled Peter and the apostles to be clear in His preaching. And this is something that Reformed churches have lost. We have lost the clarity of the gospel. And this is the problem with the wisdom of man. We make things complicated. We put doubts in the hearts and minds of people. Some people seem to enjoy deep sermons. So deep that they don't understand a word. And it seems that the harder it is, the more complicated it is, the more spiritual it is. No, brethren. It's the opposite. If you read this sermon to my daughter, she will understand it. The Holy Spirit make that sermon clear. And enable Peter to speak of difficult and mysterious things as the gospel, to make it clear that anyone could understand it. And if the gift of tongues does something, is to make the gospel clear to people. That's what the charismatic church are wrong with. The gift of tongues is divisive. People are kept away from what it means. But the true biblical gifts of tongue make the gospel available to everyone, that anyone can understand the truth. And it's time for Reformed churches, for our denomination, to get back to the basic and to preach the simple gospel of Christ in a way that our children will understand it. And I'm not saying that you don't have to preach the whole counsel of God. What I'm saying is that when the Holy Spirit anoints a preacher, He gives him clarity. Clarity. Anyone understands what that man is saying. And everyone understood Peter. Maybe not in their hearts, maybe not to salvation, but anyone knew very well what that man said today. And if you read every sermon recorded in Scripture, they are all simple sermons. All of them. All of them. And brethren, one of the marks that we are not spiritual preachers is that our sermons are not clear. Do you want a mark of the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Here is one. Is that preacher clear in his preaching? Peter was, and so were the apostles. Clarity. Clarity. Fourthly, when the Holy Spirit anoints a preacher, He makes him Christ-centered. It's not a man-made thing to speak of Christ. It's something that comes from the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, brethren, I have experienced this in my short time in the ministry. When that happens, it's so easy to speak of Jesus. I don't have to think. Words come to my mouth and I listen to them. And what the Holy Spirit does when He comes, He enables men to speak well of Jesus. This is His ministry. He has received the things of Christ and He gives them to the church. That is how Jesus explained the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's a Christ-centered ministry. It's to reveal Christ to His people and to sinners. And so when the Holy Spirit is accompanying a man, as it was in the case of Peter and the apostles, you will find that that sermon is full of Jesus. And I remember when I was in the seminary, our lecturer in homiletics, one of the points was, when we had the critique for our sermons, spirituality. And to him, to have a spiritual sermon are to be full of Christ. And here is the connection. The Holy Spirit will always make a sermon to be Christ-centered. Always. And if you read this sermon and other sermons in the book of Acts, they are full of Jesus. This sermon is all about proving that Jesus is the promised Messiah. That Jesus is the one sent by God for the salvation of Israel. That Jesus is the accomplishment of God's promises. That Jesus is Lord and King. The only Savior of the world. This is what Peter is talking all the time. And so let's consider now the preaching of modern Reform churches. What is the subject of modern preaching? Doctrine? Theology? These things are important. But the main thing is missing. Spiritual preaching is Christ-centered. And when a man is full of divine authority, when a man is under the influence of the almighty power of the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of that powerful work is Christ-centered preaching. So here is something for you to pray again. The Holy Spirit. Do you want to hear about the Savior and this congregation? Do you want to hear good things about Christ from the lips of your minister? Here is what you can do. Pray for your minister that he would have the Holy Spirit accompanying him as he climbs up the pulpit. And not just for this congregation, brethren. We believe in the universal church. We believe in one church, though sadly divided in many denominations. But we want the church of Christ, brethren. Be that church the continuing, the FB, the APC, the Free Church, whatever it is, brethren, pray that God would anoint every faithful minister to be full of the Holy Spirit. That will transform this nation again. This is what Scotland needs. This is what the world needs. Christ-centered preaching. It's a mark of a man full of the Holy Spirit. It's a mark of a sermon preached with the help of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, when the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost and manifested His power and the preaching of the apostles, what happened was that that preaching became effectual. We read of 3,000. I cannot stop smiling when I read that number. 3,000 after one sermon. This is not the work of a man, brethren. This is the work of God. And if we want to see those in this congregation still unsaved, and we want to see them saved, we don't need more clever subject. We don't need some new activities. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And I still remember a man in this congregation saying outside the church, talking about all these conferences and all these meetings that we have and services. And I said, we don't need more services. We need the power of God. And friends, this is what we need. If we want to see people saved in Doors, Antomaten, and in Inverness, and down south in England, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Until the Holy Spirit comes, until He comes, until He works, no one will be saved in this congregation. No one. And I find so disappointing when I hear congregations, and the only thing they want is a man wearing a collar. And they think, if we get a minister, all is going to be well with us. No. You're just having someone else coming to church. But if you want a lasting result in the church, you need the work of the Holy Spirit. and the Spirit doesn't need a minister to do this. A student can be used by God in His grace to save sinners. An elder could be used. A lay preacher. Friends, we need the Holy Spirit. There are souls in this congregation unsaved, you know? And you wonder, how is it possible that after so many years, yet they have not professed faith in Christ? What is missing there? They need the Spirit of God working powerfully in their heart. And this happened at Pentecost. And in the days after. And in the years after. It's very likely that in Jerusalem there were about 1 million Christians. 1 million. Can you imagine that number? It's 1/5 of the Scottish population. That was the likely number of people saved in the early church. In the time of the book of Acts, when this was written, 1 million. Why? The Holy Spirit was working. And the result of that work was biblical preaching, bold preaching, clear preaching, Christ-centered preaching, effectual preaching. Brethren, may God grant unto us a new Pentecost. The true one, not that wishy-washy thing is talking today, but a real Pentecost. That will be a life-changing experience. For us who are Christian, and for those who are not.